If you have your Bibles this morning, if you would find the book of Romans again, the 14th chapter, the book of Romans, the 14th chapter will be our text. Let me say a word about the service tonight. I'm looking forward to our Sunday night services for the next 6 or 8 weeks, and I'll be preaching every Sunday night for sure for the next 6 Sunday nights in a row, and I've asked God to do a great work in our Sunday night services. And so I'm encouraging you to come back tonight. It will link in the service this morning, but I believe it will be some inspiration that you will need. And so I plan on preaching until the second Sunday of July on Sunday nights. And I hope and pray that you'll make effort to be there. I will preach this morning and finish up the weaker and stronger brother relationship inside the church. We'll begin next Sunday to preach the conclusion of the book of Romans. It'll take 2 weeks to preach that. I'll preach on the 10th, and then on the 17th, we'll preach a Father's Day and a message to the men. Somebody asked me, Pastor, why are we not having service on Father's Day like we did on Mother's Day? My answer to that is because I've been told by many of the ladies of the church that every day is Father's Day. And so if every day is Father's Day, there's no reason to do it any different on that day. And so we'll have service Sunday morning, Sunday night, come back and finish the book of Romans on the last Sunday of the month of June. And then the first 2 Sundays of July, I want to preach some messages on vision, where we're going as a church, what I believe that God has in store for us, and especially going into the summer, and included in that would be in our current building program, and then some things down the road. And so you pray for me that God will enable me to preach what I believe He'll have me to preach. If I am not myself today, it's because I'm not myself today. I had a little operation this week on my mouth, and so on the left side of my mouth, I am loaded up with stitches. I would show them to you, but you would lose your breakfast, and so I will not do that. So if I'm not jumping all around and excited today, then that's probably one of the reasons why. Be patient with me if you would. Romans chapter 14, verse number 1, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Pick up verse number 1 of chapter number 15, if you would, please. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. We have gone past the doctrinal part of the book of Romans and entered into the practical part in Romans chapter 12, and you know that I don't need to rehearse all that. We've been looking at relations and how the possession of divine righteousness is practically worked out in our lives. It is foremost worked out in the area of relationships. Relationship beginning with God Himself as we surrender our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable, which is our reasonable service. And then Paul began to go down through the relations that we have and show how Christ is to affect those areas. We have been through many of them, and we came to Romans chapter 14, and he once again focused on the church. And there was a problem in this church. We find the problem mentioned in verse number 3 of chapter 14. There was despising going on, and there was judging going on. Despising by the stronger brethren, judging by the weaker brethren. What you have inside the church here, and what you have inside all local New Testament Baptist churches or local New Testament churches, you have weaker and stronger brethren. Paul is focusing on the area of Christian liberty and conscience in this passage. He's not focusing on the written word of God per se, for there's no area or no freedom in liberty where God's word is written. There's only to be submission and obedience. But there are some areas that we run into as believers in Christ that are open to our own scruples. And we learned that word. I taught you that word last week. Does anybody remember what the word scruples means? Thank you. You encouraged this pastor greatly. I appreciate that. It means principles. You've heard people say you've lost your scruples. Scruples, as defined by Webster, is the principles by which one governs their life. Now, let's be real clear. I have had some good laughs this week, and you have joked with me, and you said, Pastor, you could get up there and you preach to us that as long as we didn't think it was sin, we could do whatever we wanted to do. Your pastor didn't preach that to you. Here's what your pastor preached to you. If it's written in the Word of God, it's God's Word, or principled in the God's Word, it demands our obedience, and God's people said. But there are areas where there's some liberty. In the text, there was the area of eating meat and the area of observing days. They were small areas. But I have found that sometimes within relationships, it's the small things that cause the biggest problems. And so little small matters, if they're not cared for properly, pretty soon can explode. We say it this way, making mountains out of molehills. So sometimes you have a lot of little molehills in your relationship, and pretty soon you have mountains. Such was the case in this church. Such is the case that we're trying to prevent in our church. And so you have this area of conscience or Christian liberty. The stronger brother, he has more freedom in his conscience on the liberty side. The weaker brother, his conscience is more straining, and he's more abstaining from things. And so he's a little bit bound or apprehended in some things that he can't do. And so what was happening was the weaker brother must have been kind of the loud part of this, and he was judging the stronger brother, and the stronger brother didn't really want to be judged. So inside this church, there was a denial of that. They didn't even want to bring the weaker brother in. Paul had to tell him in verse number 1, receive the weaker brother. And so some division was happening. And so the stronger guy was despising the weaker guy because he was a thorn in his flesh. And the weaker guy, he's judging the stronger guy and holding such a prideful and arrogant an elevated position over the stronger guy, so much so that the weaker even considered whether or not the stronger guy knew the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why in verse number 3, the Apostle Paul has to tell the weaker brethren, when you're judging the stronger brother, remember that God hath received him. I think we'll be a little bit surprised when we get to heaven and find out who's there and who's not there. That's going to be a telltale sign. And it's going to be a day of reckoning. Sometimes a weaker brother, he can look at the liberty that a stronger brother may have freedom in and question whether or not that guy even knows the Lord. And Paul's telling him, yes, he does. He knows the Lord. So you had despising and you had judging going on. And it was dividing and hurting the church. And so Paul is addressing this. And he gave us three principles last week's lesson that enabled us to get along with one another, enabled us to know not despising and not judgment, but to know peace. And so the first one was the lordship of Christ. And we looked at that in verses 6-8 and said that the reason any believer ought to do anything is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatsoever you eat or drink or do, do all to the glory of God. And so Paul said it ought to be under everything that we do ought to be measured under the lordship of Christ. He buffeted that and supported that by saying in verse number 6, the stronger and the weaker, they have to be able to give God thanks for what they are going to do. And so he mentioned about the lordship of Christ. Then he went on in verses 10 to 13 there and talked about the judgment seat of Christ. There will be a day when every man shall give an account of himself. And so we're not to judge our brother down here. We're to be our brother's brother. There will be one judge. His name is Christ, and he will judge us. What we are to judge is found in verse number 13. He said, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. So the stronger guy and the weaker guy both had to kind of look at themselves and say, I don't want to be a stumbling block. I don't want to be a hazard. Pastor, how would the stronger guy be a hazard to the weaker guy? Well, the stronger guy can kind of take his strength or his conviction or his scruples and his liberty and kind of throw it in the face of the weaker guy. Now, the weaker guy, because his conscience would be pricked to do what the stronger guy is doing, it's not right for him to do it. Matter of fact, if you look at verse number, the last verse of verse number, chapter 14, verse 23, he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is what, class? Sin. Be very, very careful about transgressing your conscience. Be very careful about transgressing the peace of God and the faith of God that is in your heart. And so Paul said, this guy over here, he can't do that in faith. And if you're a stumbling block to him and cause him to transgress his conscience, then you're going to be in danger as well. What would the weaker brother do? Well, the weaker brother, he can become so obstinate and so high and so mighty and this, that he can actually repulse the stronger guy, or he can actually even begin to get him to question whether or not he's in the faith. And so he can become a stumbling block because now he's not going according to liberty. Now, remember, we're not talking about the written word of God. We're talking about the area of conscience. Simple things. They were eating meat and they were observing days. We're not talking about these great things that are already mentioned in God's word. So there was the lordship of Christ. There was the judgment seat of Christ. And then verse number 15 talks about the love of Christ. If thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably? Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. So there's to be the love of Christ in our relationship. And so those three principles enabled us to have unity in our church. And by the way, I agree with the psalmist in Psalm 133, verse number 1, when he says, how sweet it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. If you appreciate that, would you say amen? And so we understand how wonderful, behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. Somebody asked me, Pastor, do we have problems in Plantation Baptist Church? The answer to that is no. I do not think we have a despising spirit, and I do not think we have a judgmental spirit. Do we have stronger and weaker brethren in our church? Of course, all churches do. I'm not sure where you are. You'll have to determine that with the Lord, but there's stronger and there's weaker. But praise his holy name. When we come in here, there's wonderful unity in our church. So somebody asked me, why are you preaching this? My response to them was, have you ever heard of preventative medicine? And so that's basically where I am today. Come down, if you would, now in Romans chapter 14, pick up with verse number 16. After he's given us these three principles, he begins to go on and instruct us very, very carefully and very specifically in our relation to one another. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. All right, so he's explaining to them what the kingdom of God is. It's not their little issues. It's the righteousness and peace of the Spirit of God. Look at verse number 19. Let us therefore, now wherever you see a therefore, that's a platform verse. That's a springboard. You're looking to the previous context to get this truth. So the previous context here is all that he said in all of these verses here. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for, say it, class, peace. Hold your hand here and find, if you would, the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. Ephesians, chapter number 4. I want to show you how important peace is in the church to the Lord Jesus. I want to show you how important peace is to the Apostle Paul. There's much instruction when it comes to peace in the church. Pick up chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians, and you may want to mark this. I'll come back here. Look at verse number 3. We'll start with verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of what? Peace. I submit to you that the Lord Jesus wants peace in his church. I submit to you that peace is paramount in the local New Testament body of believers. Paul said we are to endeavor to keep the peace. If you were to go back in the book of Romans, and we won't look there, but you remember a few verses ago, he talked about as much as lieth within you to live peaceably with all men. So the church is to have a peaceful relationship with the world, and we are to have a peaceful relationship with one another. Many of you have this good understanding when it comes to families. Nothing brings about despising and judgment. Those two things bring about unrest and unpeace, and there's nothing more discouraging, nothing more troubling, nothing more destroying than a family that doesn't have peace. Same thing with a church family. So the Apostle Paul is teaching us stronger and weaker brethren. He's teaching us church members that we are to follow after the things which make for peace. Why? And things, verse number 19, wherewith one may edify another. So as we relate to one another inside these walls, and as we relate to one another as the body of Christ, your responsibility, my responsibility, is to seek for peace. Pastor, does peace mean we just let sin go unpunished? No, that's why we have church discipline. That's why we have other things. Pastor, does peace mean we just never confront anybody that has gone a different direction? No, we're not talking about the written word of God. We're not talking about the principles from the word of God. We're talking about our scruples, our conscience. We're talking about liberty. And our liberty is not more important than peace in the house of God, and God's people said. Not. So we have a responsibility to follow the things which make for peace. Keep reading, if you would, in verse number 20. For meat, destroy not the work of God. That word wheat there is, or meat there, is in reference to the liberty, to the principles, to the scruples, to conscience. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eateth with offense. It is good to neither eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to, finish that word, that verse. What's it say? Thyself. What's he saying there? Don't flaunt your Christian liberty. Don't come in here and declare your faith. Don't come in here and make a big scene over what you're able to do as opposed to somebody else. I'm glad you have faith. Now have it secretly before God. When you're together, you seek for peace. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. He that doubteth is damned if he eat. That means judged. Because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So the Apostle Paul's got a problem in this church. The problem is he's got a relationship between brothers. And he says, now guys, we are to seek and follow after those things which make for peace. Do not destroy each other or the work of God in the area of Christian liberty. So he moves on from this premise, and you come into chapter 15 in the first 12 verses. I believe there's three thoughts here that help a church seek for peace. By the way, could I just see by your own admission, how many have ever been in a church where there has not been peace? Okay. So we've had some experience here. Immediately in verse number 1 of chapter 15, the Apostle Paul moves to the strong. We then, he incorporates himself as a strong believer, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. What is he saying there? He's saying that that the strong guy is not to flaunt his liberty. He's to release it and to reject it at the expense of the weaker. Not that the weak guy can dictate everything you do, but so that the weak guy doesn't transgress his conscience. So the strong man is not to dig his heels in the sand and put up a big fight. He is to love his brother more than he loves his liberty. If you love your brother, more than you love your liberty, then you will not become a stumbling block. It's amazing, though. We are right people. We want our rights. It's our right. I'm not bothering you. I don't affect you. Don't concern yourself with me. I have rights. Paul said, now remember, our very first relationship was that we lay our bodies down, a living sacrifice, which means we surrender our rights. And so the stronger brother is never going to help bring about peace in any church if he digs his heels in and loves his liberty more than he loves his brother. By the way, one of the great things about this church is we love our brethren. We love our brethren. So Paul's addressing the stronger brother here. He says in verse number 1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to, what's those last two words? Please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to, here's that word again, edification. Edification is the building up or the encouragement. So if we're going to have peace in the church, and we're told to seek peace in this area of liberty, in this area of scruples, in this area of conscience, then the number one thing we got to come in here in a mindset is we're not here to please ourselves. We're here to please one another. Others become the goal of our sight. Others become the concern of our heart. Not to please ourselves, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. And by the way, he goes on in verse number 3 to give us a wonderful example of the ultimate person who pleased not himself. Look at verse 3. For even, say his name please, Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Now, if I truly know the Lord, and I truly walk with the Lord, and I truly am filled with the Spirit of God, and I truly have the mind of Christ, and I truly am dominated by the Word of Christ, and as I grow in the Lord, I become like Him. And so the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So Christ came not to please Himself, but to please others. And by the way, I'm glad He pleases others. And so our mindset is not to please ourselves, but to please others. And so if my liberty is affecting my brother, I will not transgress continue in my liberty to the point where I don't love my brother. It's more important that I please him than it is me. And by the way, let me say this. If it's true Christian liberty, you can do without it. I got to say that again. If it's true Christian liberty, you can do without it in your life. Boy, that's a powerful statement that I did not study, but God just gave it to me standing on this thing right here. How dare that, brother? I'm not quitting this. I'm not giving this up. I'm not doing this. This is my right. Now we got to determine, is this something that's besetting us? Is this something that's in our flesh? Is this something that we are not willing to give it up? Because we should be willing to give up everything for the Lord. So if you can't give up your liberty for the love of your brethren, to please not yourself, but to please Him, then I submit to you on the authority and principle of God's word, we may not be talking about liberty. Now we might be talking about selfishness. See, if we're going to get along in a church, then every one of us has to be right before the Lord for themselves. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. So we please others, not ourselves. If we're going to seek peace, it's them. By the way, if there was something in my life that was destroying my weaker brother, I pray that I would be willing to yield that. I don't want to be a stumbling block to anybody, to nobody. Well, Pastor, what does that mean? Listen, it's a matter of searching the heart. It's a matter of truth in those areas. Number 2, not only do we please one another, but he goes on in verse number 4 of chapter 15 down to verse number 7. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. That's the Old Testament, by the way. So don't say that the Old Testament, there's your verse if you want to say it's applicable to our lives. It was written for our learning. Because it's Psalm 69 there, he's quoted, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now, the, what's those next three words? God of what? Patience. Come on now, you got to read your Bible. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind, one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. So if peace is our goal and we're to follow after things that make for peace in this area of Christian liberty and conscience, then the first thing we got to do is not please ourselves, but we need to please our neighbor. The second thing is we need to practice patience with one another. Pastor, I don't have any patience. I know. I've experienced some of that in your life. Verse number 5. Now the God of patience. Did you know that our God is a God of patience? You know, I have found that as you spend time with the Lord, you become like Him. If churches would stop worrying about the despising or the judging and stop worrying about the small things that the Word of God has left to Christian liberty, and we would begin to get to know our God in a way that is honest and true, then in our heart, God will begin to develop a perseverance or a patient spirit. It takes patience to deal with people. You ever tried to drive on our roads? On days you're not very patient, they call it road rage. And so we understand this. And Paul is saying, now listen, verse number 4, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. What brings to us patience? The scripture does. We get patience through tribulation, but we learn how to develop patience through the scriptures. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be, what's that word in verse number 5? Like-minded. See, as the scriptures work on us, they bring us to the unity of like-mindedness. Since our God is a God of patience, and the Bible says in Psalm 119, 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So if our God is a God of patience, and He can grant to us patience and consolation, as we grow in Him and center on Him, then He begins to bring us in unity and like-mindedness. You take Jesus Christ away from us, and we will not have unity in this church. But you bring Him in as the Lord of our church, and you bring Him in as the law of our heart and the love of our relationship, then He and He alone will bring us into like-mindedness. He will bring us into unity. Now let's talk about like-mindedness and unity, as He mentions here in verse number 5. He says, like-minded one toward another. What's that word after that? Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another. What's that word? According to Christ Jesus. So as God does a work in the church and brings us to like-mindedness, He brings us according to Christ, which means He brings us to the very things that are important to the mind of Christ. And Christ is not necessarily totally concerned about our Christian liberty or our scruples. He's left that to our conscience, to our walk with Him. But what are some things that Christ is concerned with? Well, He would be concerned with lost souls. Would you agree with that? Say amen. He would be concerned about the preaching of His word. He would be concerned about the bearing of one another's burdens. He would be concerned about loving thy neighbor as thyself. He's concerned with those things. What's happening is we get churches that aren't right themselves individually with the Lord. And so then we begin to look at the issues, and pride gets in, and I judge you because you're doing something I wouldn't do. And then I despise you because you're a pain in my neck and you're bothering me. And now we're fighting over meats and days, and there's no unity because it's left up to our very principle and our very scruples and our very Christian liberty. And there's no unity there. But Paul is teaching the church, as you get to know the Lord and walk with him, it's through the scriptures, God brings you patience, he brings you his mind, and then look what happens to a church. In verse number 6, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing will cease a church glorifying God like despising and judging one another. See, we can't do that. What enables us to glorify God is for you to be right with the Lord for yourself. I have the responsibility as Tom Hunter to come to this church as a spirit-filled believer. And by the way, if I could remember your names right now, because that medicine does that to me, I'm a little fuzzy. But I remember Keith Scheffler. He has a responsibility to come to this church every Sunday as a spirit-filled believer. Brother Keith Penn has a responsibility to relate when he runs into you at Publix as a spirit-filled believer. Brother Ed Flynn has a responsibility to be a spirit-filled believer every single day. Every one of us that know Jesus Christ have the responsibility to be spirit-filled every day. And then that keeps us, that keeps God working on us. That keeps us in like-mindedness. That doesn't let us become petty. That doesn't let us exalt ourselves. That lets us please others before ourselves. That helps us to practice patience. That enables us as a unit, as a body, to glorify God. One mouth and one mind. And that is important in the house of God. So there's the practicing of patience in that area. And then lastly, there's the power of the Spirit of God. Look at verse number 12. I'm sorry, verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God. That's the Jewish man. To conform the promises made to the fathers. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again praise the Lord all ye Gentiles and laud him all ye people. And again Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust. Look at verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the, what's that last verse? Power of the Holy Ghost. So if we're going to seek peace, then there is the pleasing of one another, not ourselves. There's the practice of patience that brings us into the through the comfort of the scriptures to the like-mindedness where we glorify God. And then there's the power of the Spirit of God that enables us to know joy, peace, and hope. Let me tell you something. Do you not sense within yourself the days that you are trusting the power of the Spirit of God and the days you're trusting yourself? We're different. We're different. And unity that comes about in any church cannot happen unless it's enabled and empowered by the Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 4, go back to that passage. Let me just show you this and I'll be done. I'm almost done. Ephesians 4, he said, now keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There's one body and there's one Spirit. Even as you are called in one hope of your calling. There's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And so it's the same Spirit that lives in the stronger brother that lives in the weaker brother. It's the same Spirit that lives in each of us if we know Jesus Christ. And according to verse 13, joy, peace, and hope can only be possible through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, if you want to rob Plantation Baptist Church of its joy, then let's start despising and judging one another. Let's everybody start pleasing themselves over somebody else. Let's not practice patience and let's not be spirit-filled. And pretty soon, this will become a joy vacant place. And there's nothing more unattractive than a church without joy. There's nothing more unattractive than people without joy. The reason some of you can't enjoy the joy of the Spirit of God is because all you do is judge somebody. You look at everybody in the place and think, well, I'm a better Christian than they are because I don't do A, B, C, or D. And then this guy over here, the reason he can't have joy is because he's so busy despising everybody that's causing him problems. And so pretty soon, we got the East Baptist and the West Baptist in a church. And I would say it this way. Let's quote Abraham. We be brethren. When Lot came and said, I want to go this direction, Abraham said, hey, we be brethren. And so if you want to rob the joy, you have that. And you want to steal the peace, or you want to stop having hope, then we go along those lines. If we're going to have peace and we're told to seek peace, we must please one another, not ourselves, practice patience, and we must be in the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, look at your pastor here just a second, and I'm done. I believe with all my heart that the devil would love to destroy Plantation Baptist Church. I mean this as graciously and kindly as I possibly can say it. He would love to take me out. You have to pray for me. He would love to take my family out. If he could take my family out, he would take us out. If he can't get to us, then he's going to try to take you. But he will do whatever he can do to destroy this church, because inside this church, there is joy, peace, and hope. And the people of God said, so I will fight tooth and nail for this book. And I will preach it, and I will confront it, and I will defend against it. I will do whatever the Lord wants me to do for the book, for the written word of God, and for the principles that are therein. We stand on God's word. But we are different. And there is some areas in our church where there will be liberty. There is some areas where there will be principles. So then we need to respond accordingly to that. Stronger brethren, you're told to bear the infirmity of the weak. What does that mean? That means you love him more than you love your liberty. So that means that when you are in a situation, you don't flaunt the strength. You yield to him because you love your brethren. Weaker guy, you better understand that we're not saved by our works. We're saved by grace. I really think a lot of times the weaker guy, he's so concentrated on works. Yes, by their works and fruits ye shall know them. And faith without works is dead. There's no question about that. But man looks on the outward appearance and God looks on the heart. You can't see the heart. You're not your brother's judge. You're your brother's brother. We got to understand that. So then I come, each of us, under the lordship of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, the love of Christ. Inside this building and in our relationships, peace. We follow after things for peace. So I don't please myself. I'll please you. And I'll practice patience because the God of patience will give it to me through the scripture. And we will have like-minded, one mind, one mouth. And it will be more important to us, not whether we eat meat or observe days. It'll be more important to us, are we reaching souls with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is the word of God being preached? Is the power of God here? And then all of us have the responsibility to go forward in life under the power of the Spirit of God. Now, if you've got unconfessed sin or you're deceitful and you've got things buried, then no wonder you're having problems. Normally, in my counseling sessions and in my viewing the church, the guy who makes the biggest stink about some kind of subject is usually the guy that's struggling with that subject. So God has a way of exposing us. The devil would love to take us out. Why? Because I believe we're strategically planted here in Broward County. We're strategically planted in the city of Plantation. And there are people that need the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he can do it one way, he'll do it with infighting. Let there not be infighting. If you infight, I'm going to punch you in the nose. And God's people said, all right, let's pray. Let's go home.